Bless his holy name. We welcome each and every one of you in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We thank you, especially our guests who are here. We thank you for coming to fellowship with us today. We know you have many choices out there. You could have even chosen to stay at home, but instead you came to Threshing Floor. You came to the household of worship and praise, for this house is a house of prayer and of worship unto our God. And on behalf of everyone here that are part of Threshing Floor Tabernacle, we welcome and extend a gracious, warm, and welcome to each and every one of you, our guests. Amen. You may be seated, but you can give God praise while you're being seated. Amen. It's exciting. It's hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm alive, and I'm so glad I'm alive in Christ Jesus. Yeah, praise God. I like to reflect on it because it's just real and true to me. 34 years ago, I came down the aisle February 26, 1984. I came walking down that aisle. I said, I'm ready. I'm ready to surrender my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I didn't understand everything that I understand now, but for what I knew my commitment was real and genuine. While sitting there in the pew and starting to, you know, feel that pull of God. And after he had took me across the street and cleaned me up a little bit, getting rid of the stuff that was inside my system, he was preparing me. And I couldn't wait for the pastor to say, the doors of the church are open. That's a statement that they make traditionally, particularly in the Baptist church. The doors of the church are open, and that means you can come forward and you can get saved. When I got up out of that seat, I came forward and I started weeping. But it wasn't tears of sorrow and grief. It was tears of joy because I felt within my spirit, within my heart, I felt like I was at home. Praise God. I felt like, man, I'm in the right place. It wasn't the church per se. It was I felt at home with God. And I have never regretted that decision and have never turned back. It was a decision that I made at the age of 24, going on 25, now 58, going on 59. And I can tell you, it is the best life you can ever live while on this people planet called Earth. Amen. It is the best life. God cleaned me up, set me free from stuff. And I've been living, I'll just say it like this, leaven free. All these many years, and to God be all the glory. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing. It's not a religious thing. Don't look at this as just sitting in a seat and just listening to a voice or singing praise unto God. Don't just reduce it down to the natural and the normal. See it from God's perspective that this is what God expects out of his people. He expects them to gather together and assemble themselves in a holy, sacred assembly. Oh, we can do it at home, and we are supposed to do it at home. We're supposed to have a personal relationship and a personal walk with God 7 days a week, 24/7, if you will. We are to never depart from the ways of God. We are to never stray away from him, but to constantly have fellowship and communion with him on a daily basis. That's what he wants. That's what he loves. Dad can love us all at once with the same love and not reduce one bit because of use. In other words, some of us, we draw upon that love more than others. Some of us, we bask in that love more than others. Some of us, we appreciate that love more than others. But nevertheless, it never depletes God because he's got enough love for everybody. He can pour love upon you. I'm telling you, shed abroad in your heart. You'll have love not only for God, but you'll have love for humanity. You'll have love for your neighbor. You'll have love for your enemy. You'll have love for people that don't deserve love because you understand it costs you nothing, but it costs God everything. He gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from our sins, to bridge that gap, to come in and take us out of darkness, to bring us back into the marvelous light, to take us from the power of Satan unto the power of Almighty God. What do you mean the power of Satan? Well, everybody in this world that is not of God is under the sway and the influence of Satan. Minister Patton, can you put Ephesians chapter 2 on the screen? Everyone who has not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ is under the sway and the influence of Satan. Now, whether you obey him or not, still you're under his influence. He has access to you. He can persuade you. Now, he can persuade believers, too, if they don't know their position in Christ Jesus. But Satan is very deceitful. And one thing that God did not do was take away his power and his influence, his ability to deceive. God didn't take that away from him. But one day he's going to ultimately destroy him. Ephesians chapter 2. And you say he's talking about me. Hallelujah. Now that letter was wrote to the church at Ephesus, but it's an epistle that was spoken to them. It was a prophetic word that was spoken to them, but also spoken through them to the entire body of Christ, even us today. It says, and you hath he quickened. That word quickened means he made you alive. It doesn't mean he made you to run faster. Amen. I was running from God. I've been running from God. No, what God does causes you to run towards him. Amen. So you hath he quickened, or you hath he made alive, who were dead. Dead in what? Dead in trespasses and sin. Under the power of sin. Sin is the seat of Satan's throne in our lives. When we engage in activity that violates the will of God, we are operating under the sway and the influence of the enemy, and it gives him access to us. Brother Ian, if you can just open that door real quick, just, you know, everybody say access. When we violate the word of God, we give access to the devil, and he can influence us. He can influence us, he can deceive us, he can persuade us to carry out his will and not God's will. You understand that? You can come back in, brother, or you can close it. So we don't want to give the devil any access. Amen? We want to shut the door on him. Now, some people may not believe in the devil. But, you know, if you believe in God, you got to believe in the devil. And if you don't believe in God and you don't believe in the devil, the Bible has something to say concerning you. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but let God be true and every man be a liar. God says, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. So this is what God is saying, because all creation, it declares the glory of God. The heavens, the very heavens itself, declare the glory of God, that God exists and that God is sovereign and he is in control. Hallelujah. No matter how chaotic life may be, no matter how chaotic circumstances may be, God is still on the throne and he's still in control. It may not look like it. It may not seem like it. Sometimes it may not even feel like it. But trust me, he is in control. Nothing goes on without his permission. And it's not like God is evil and he wants to do evil. But sin running rampantly brings about all of the tragedies and heartaches and pains and suffering that we experience. And it's influenced by the devil. How do we know that? We go back to the beginning and we see that Satan came to Adam and Eve. First, he came to Eve, if you will. He came to Eve and got her engaged in a conversation. And in this conversation that she engaged in with him, he got her to do something that God said don't do. God gave the word to Adam. You can eat of every tree in the garden except for that tree right there, the tree in the midst of the garden, of the knowledge of good and evil. The day that you eat thereof, you will die. What it meant was, in dying, you shall die. This is why we die. We may live 20 years. We may live 30 years. We may live one day. We may live 100 years. But one day we're going to die. Tell your neighbor, you're going to die one day. And if Jesus tarries, you will die. If he comes quickly and you're ready, you'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's a side trip. But we die because of sin. This is the reason. We were created to live forever. So even when we die, we're going to spend eternity somewhere. We only have two places that are revealed in Scripture. One place is with God in heaven. And then he's going to restore the earth and we'll be with him on earth. The other place is called hell, the place that burns with fire and brimstone day and night. It is called outer darkness, if you will, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is what the Bible teaches us. Some people don't believe in it, but it does not make the word of God untrue. Amen? So even if people don't believe, it does not make the word of God of no effect. God is the one who created all creation. Hallelujah. And he created you and I in his image and after his likeness because he wanted us to look like him. He wanted us to rule on this earth just like he rules in heaven. Hallelujah. He had highly favored us, given us everything, gave us dominion over all that's on this earth. But we got deceived through Eve. And then Adam willfully transgressed against the command of God. The devil tricked Eve, but Adam willfully sinned and disobeyed God. And so when Adam sinned, everything fell out of kilter. This is why we have earthquakes. We have tornadoes. We have floods, if you will. We have all sorts of chaos and disorder going on because everything fell out of kilter. Everything became chaotic once Adam transgressed. It was orderly when God brought Adam forth. He didn't wait. He didn't bring Adam in the beginning in order that Adam might give God some input on how he was going to create creation. No, God waited until the very end after he created everything. Then he said, now let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And let's give him authority. Let's give him dominion over the fish of the sea, over the beasts of the field, and over the birds of the air. Let's give him dominion. And then he did so, but it was after everything was created. And then God gave him dominion over it all, but it was released. It was forfeited through transgression. And this is the reason why Jesus had to go to the cross. Man, Adam, and Eve tried to cover their sin and their shame. The Bible says that they were naked and open and they were not ashamed. They were transparent before God and had no reason to be ashamed being made in the image and likeness of God. But when transgression fell, when transgression came in, all of a sudden now they became ashamed. They knew they were naked. They were exposed. And so they went and hid themselves. What were they hiding from? They were hiding from the very presence of God. This is why many people don't come to church on a regular basis. This is why many people don't come to church at all, because they're hiding from God. But the eyes of the Lord, according to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees everything. People may look and wonder and say, why did God allow this to happen? And why did God allow that to happen? Well, it's what sin creates when it is in the power and influence of a demon. I hope you understand what I mean. The wickedness that goes on in this world today is not based on the color of a person's skin, nor their social status in life, nor their education or lack of education. It is a sin problem, and no matter how you try and dress it up, no matter how you try and pretty it up, no matter how you try and powder it up, no matter what you try and do to cover it up, sin will manifest itself as sin. And this is why we have the problems that we have. This is why people hate people. This is why people abuse people. This is why people lie and cheat and steal. And some people, you know, if you're on the other side of that, if you're a victim of somebody taking advantage of you, you know, it's kind of hard for you in dealing with life because somebody has violated you. They violated your freedom. They violated your liberty. They violated you as an individual. But know where the root cause of it came from. It came from sin, the sinful nature, inspired by a devil that was cast out of heaven. When he felt like he could lead a rebellion and a revolution and insurrection in heaven, he felt like he could be like God, like he could be like the Most High. He wanted to have his throne. He wanted the worship that he was created to give unto God. He wanted it for himself. He was filled with pride and rebellion against God. And he caused one-third of the host of heaven, one-third of the angelic population that populated heaven, he caused one-third of them to be deceived and led astray and follow his scheme, and God immediately cast them all out. The Bible teaches us that they are reserved in chains of darkness, so that they are limited. They cannot get redeemed. They cannot get saved. They are bound for eternity in darkness. And one day, our Lord and Savior is going to give them their final ultimate sentence, which is in hell that burns with fire and brimstone day and night. According to Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, the Bible plainly teaches us that hell was created for the devil and his angels. But mankind will go there because of their rejection of the Savior. Because it's not just sufficient that we know that, well, it really wasn't our fault that we sinned. We trace it all the way back to the first man and the first woman. They sinned, and their nature is now in our nature. But even if we have not sinned like Adam and Eve did, having fellowship, personal fellowship with God in the cool of the day, yet our sins and our transgressions and the iniquity that is in our blood, in our life, that right there tells us we cannot save ourselves. No matter how hard we try, we will always come short of the righteous requirements of God. We can't do it in our own might. We can't do it in our own strength. That's why God had to send Jesus. Well, what was the difference of Jesus? Well, the difference in Jesus is that he did not have the sinful nature in him because he was not born of this world, if you will. The Lord was sent from heaven. God, the Holy Ghost, came upon Mary and released the seed of God into her life. And she conceived and gave birth to God our Savior, Christ our Lord. It was a joyous day when they celebrated the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It was a dark day when he was crucified on that cross. But it was a special day 3 days later when he rose from the dead. Because in his resurrection from the dead, hallelujah, to die no more, he has now secured our salvation. And now all we don't have to try and keep the Ten Commandments. We don't have to try and be a good person. All we need to do is put our trust in what he has done for us. And we are saved and we are kept by the power of Almighty God. When you understand how serious sin is and how desperately we need salvation, because I don't know about you, but I don't like hot stuff as it is now. I don't go and touch a hot stove. I don't go and touch a hot barbecue pit. I don't go and touch a hot engine of a car. I don't. Why? Because I will get burned. I don't put my hands in the fire to say, ooh, ooh, watch me do that. No, because I will get burned, and I don't want to get burned. But imagine being burned for all eternity. The psalmist said it like this: the days of our lives are 70, which is 70. If by reason of strength we get 10 more, which is 80. And so, you know, some people live longer, some people live less. Some are stillbirths. The time they come out of the womb, they die. Some die within the womb. And so the thing of it is that we don't know exactly how long we're going to live on this earth. Tomorrow is not promised to us. Amen? It'll come, but we may or we may not be here. And the question is will we be ready if it's our time to go? Will we be ready when the time comes? Because, you know, we think we're going to live forever anyways. But what happens if our day comes? Tonight is like our final night on earth. Are we ready? Are we ready to meet the Savior? Are we ready to stand face to face before our Lord? Because everyone will go to heaven. But as my man of God says, not everyone will be able to stay. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ or stand before the great white throne of judgment. The great white throne of judgment, there is no mediator. There is no advocate. It's just you and God and his righteous requirements of how we live our lives here on this earth. Did we live it for him or did we live it for ourselves? I'm going to let the drama team come and I'll be back in just a little bit. Amen. But I want to leave you with that thought. Amen. Because God loves you. He loves you. The Bible tells us it is not God's will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. He don't want nobody going to hell except for the devil and his angels. And the access that they had and the privileges that they had to stand before Almighty God, understanding that they were created all at once by him, and they were assigned to do the various things that they did. And it was a blessing to serve. But a third of them rebelled against God. And they are doomed forever. And God has no regrets with them. Because they stood in his very presence. And yet resisted and rebelled against him. But not so for us. Even in our rebellion, Christ died for us. That we might be reconciled to God. And that in our relationship and walk with him, we may glorify him in the earth. Don't live your own will. Don't live your own way. Discover the way and the will of God and live and walk that out. Because any one of us can be just like the devil and his angels, cast into hell for all eternity. And that will grieve the Father's heart because he loves us so much. How do you know? The Bible tells us God loves the world. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but will have everlasting life. And Jesus says, the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, praise God. You are at the point of making a decision. You need to examine yourselves. This is what the Bible teaches us. Let a man examine himself to see whether he is in the faith. And see, in the faith is not being religious. In the faith is not sometimes, you know, going to church. In the faith is not saying, you know, well, I pray. A casual relationship with God. God is not into casual relationships. He's into a permanent, eternal relationship with him. And the Bible says this, I don't say this. How many of you know what jealousy means? How many of you know what jealousy means? What does it mean? Ooh, that's a good thing. Wanting something another person has, that's envy. Jealousy is being possessive, not wanting anybody to have what you have. You don't want to share it with anyone else. It belongs to you. Jealousy that we know of is a jealousy that for the most part is bad. You know, you have a relationship between a husband and a wife, and the husband, if he's jealous of her, she can't go anywhere out of his sight. And if she goes somewhere, when she comes back, she's got to give all kind of explanations of where she's been, what she's been doing, who she's been with, and all of these other things. Because he's jealous. He doesn't trust her. And sometimes it goes overboard and becomes abusive. Or you can have a jealous wife. Same thing. Husband can't be late. He's got, where you been? You know, you got off at this time, and how come you, and what's that smell? Why you got on so much cologne? You know, that kind of thing. You know, jealous because you don't trust the person. But there's a good jealousy. There's a godly jealousy. And that's God's jealousy for us. God is saying, I want you to myself. Oh, he'll share us with others in his way. What do you mean? A relationship between a man and a woman? God says, if that's not your husband and that's not your wife, you shouldn't have no relationship whatsoever. I love you. I want you for me. And if I'm going to share it with you with anybody, I'm going to share it through covenant relationship. Just as I have a covenant relationship with you, I will share you with someone else. I will share a woman with her husband, a husband with his wife. I will share you with that in covenant relationship that I can deal with. But to be in a relationship and it's not right in the eyesight of God, that becomes jealous. He doesn't want to share you with anyone. Just himself. So God is a jealous God. He is possessive of his own. This is where you'll find true love, agape love, real love, love that won't take off on you, love that won't disappoint you, love that won't let you go, love that will put up with all of your stuff and still love you. When the Father sees us in the hands of the adversary and being used by him, and we say that we're his, he becomes very jealous. Because he loves you. And he's the only one who can truly, genuinely love you. And there's no love like God's. Don't let man or woman, don't let society or others teach you different. God's love is pure. It's kind. It's gentle. It's long-suffering. It's not proud or boastful. Doesn't brag about itself. God's love never fails. You can have the gift of prophecy. You can have the word of knowledge. You can do miracles and cast out devils. You can heal the sick and raise the dead. But if you don't have love, it's all in vain. Love is the greatest gift that God can give each and every one of us. And he gave that through Jesus Christ. So you examine yourself. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. See where you are with God. Don't get mad at me. I'm not saying join TFT. You can join. You'll be happy. You'll be blessed. Your life will change. It will change. You'll be challenged to change. You'll be challenged to grow up. This is why some people just kind of like stay away. They don't want to grow up. They want to continue to be like the world. But that's going to cause you to perish, being like the world. No, you want to be like Christ. You want to imitate Jesus in everything that you do. He is the example. Man may fail you, but Jesus never will. So we want to imitate Christ. Paul said this. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. If I ain't following Christ, then don't follow me. But if I'm following Jesus, follow me. Make sure you're following Jesus. So by now you're ready for the decision. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You know where you are. You know if your relationship with God is good or if it's not good. And don't just let these times pass you by. Yeah, you may be here tomorrow. You may be here 10 years from now. But the longer you prolong it, the more calloused and hardened your heart becomes. I like the way Jonathan Edwards preached that sermon. I think it was in the early 1800s or so. And he preached a sermon because he was grieved at the condition and state of the people of God, even those that were coming to church every Sunday. He was so grieved with them because of their behavior, their character, their pattern of living, if you will. They governed themselves according to their own opinions and ways. Even though they may have gone to church, they still were not the church and were not living like God wanted them to live. And so in his frustration, he sought God. God gave him a message, and he preached it with all of his heart. And the message was entitled, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. That message won't go over too well in many churches today because it's like, well, that's judgmental. That's, you know, religion. That is, you know, that's they have another word for it. It's like that's legalism. No, that was the Spirit of God crying out through him to get people to be truly reconciled to God. When you're truly reconciled, change comes. Behavior and patterns and ways of living, they change. There's an inward change first, the mind and the heart, and then what's happening on the inside manifests itself on the outside. You don't believe me? Read your Bible for yourself. This is the thing that most people do. They stay away from the Word of God. And when they hear it being preached to them, they think that, well, that's just his opinion. Well, it's none of our opinions. It's the truth. It's based on God's words, his standards. So with that being said, you examine yourself. You know where you are. If you're not right with God today, get right with him. Today, tell him, Lord, I'm sorry for the way that I've lived. I'm sorry for governing my life the way I think I should. I must answer to you because one day I know I will die. And I don't know if I'm ready to meet you. But today you can be ready. Again, every head bowed, every eye closed. You've heard me. And I believe it's been clear enough from everything that has transpired. If you want to make things right with Jesus today, raise your hand. Come on, anybody else? Any other hands go up? In the day that you hear the Lord's voice, do not harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Look at this. Children, this is why Jesus says, children are our example. These little kids over here have their hands up. And these stony, calloused hearts of adults will not hold their hand up because they think that this is man's thing. This is not man's thing. This is God's thing. God wants to save you, heal you, make you whole. As men, he wants to make us responsible. To lead our families in the ways of God. I want you to take the next step, those of you who have raised your hands, and that is to come forward at this altar. If you raise your hand and you believe that you need to make things right with God, you come down to this altar. Hallelujah. There's more of you out there. You know how you're living your life. If you're not living consistently in the way of God, you're no different from the sinner who, if they die in their sin, is going to go straight to hell. And Jesus went through all of this that he did at Calvary so that you would not taste hell, but you would come to glory. Spend eternity with God. This is your day. This is your opportunity. Don't let it pass you by. Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. I'm going to pray with these who are here. You came because you want to make things right with God. So, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of repentance. And if you've been saved before, but you backslid, and you want to make things right, and if anybody's out there in that category, you can come forward. You came, but you backslid. I'm going to lead you in a prayer of rededication and recommitment of your life to God. Make things right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Get right with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Saints of God, stretch forth your hands towards these who are here at the altar. And you who are here, know this, God's eye is upon you right now. When I tell you, I want you to repeat after me, but not until that time. Father, in Jesus' name, love on your son and daughters who are here at this altar. You know why they're here. They know why they're here. They want to make things right with you. So, Lord, at this time, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, which was done for our justification, meaning we are acquitted of all wrongdoing in your eyesight because of what Jesus did, I pray right now, Father, that you will purge and purify, sanctify, wash them in the precious blood of the Lamb while they are here at this altar, and that your ears are open and attentive to the prayer that they're about to pray. Spirit of God, you are the one who searches the hearts and minds. You know the deep things. You know the deep things of God. You know the deep things of humanity. And so right now where they stand, I pray that you will move upon their words and their faith, and you will rescue them today from destruction. You will wash them and sanctify them and put them on the path of righteousness, that they will live, love, and serve you all the days of their lives. And you'll bring the joy that is unspeakable, full of glory, into their hearts and minds. In the name of Jesus. Now repeat this after me, and those of you who are in the congregation, you can repeat it as well if you need to. But know this, Jesus says, if you're ashamed to own me before men, I'll be ashamed to own you before my Father. But if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. And so right now, repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now. In Jesus' name, I come just as I am, and I trust that you accept me as I am. Because of the blood of Jesus shed on Calvary, that blood was shed for the remission of my sins. Today, I turn away from sin and everything that displeases you, and I come to you now. Release your mercy upon my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I rededicate my life to you. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you my very soul. Take me. Jesus, live large on the inside of me. Be fully formed within me. Don't let me off the table. Don't let me get away. Keep me in your loving, saving arms. Help me in my walk with you by way of the Holy Ghost to teach me, to help me, to strengthen me, that I may run this race and endure it all the way. I thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord and Savior. I rededicate my life to you. And I vow not to take it back. Your will be done. Your kingdom come into my life, into my heart, that I may live for your name's sake. and glorify you in the earth. I thank you right now for salvation, for reconciliation, for rededication. Thank you for receiving me as your own. I give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, say amen. 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 Give God praise right now. Give God praise right now. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Father, as I just lay hands, anoint with fresh oil your servant. Don't just pick him up where he left off, Father, but complete the work that you started in him, that he'll never leave or run away from you again. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for what you're doing even right now, and we give you praise. At this point right now, you're free and you're loosed from everything that had you bound. Continue fellowshipping with God and fellowshipping with the saints, and you'll taste, you'll see, and you'll enjoy the victory, because the victory is yours now. Jesus secured it for you. Receive it. Run with it. Walk in it. Live in it. Enjoy it, because it's yours to enjoy. Father, in the name of Jesus, fresh oil, a fresh fire, a renewed spirit, in the name of Jesus, perfect everything that concerns your daughter, and I declare every yoke is destroyed and every burden is lifted from you. I even speak healing into your life, into your heart, your soul, your emotions, wholeness to you. Freedom, freedom, freedom is yours in Jesus' name. The power of God is on you right now, sister. Yeah, just receive in Jesus' name. Just receive the Lord. Thank you. loves you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Trust him. Jesus, be glorified. Be glorified in your daughter's life. Fresh oil today. Fresh fire today. Thanks and praise. Yes. Go ahead and thank him. Go ahead and thank him. Go ahead and thank him. Right now. Get a Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Do you love Jesus? He definitely loves you. We thank all of our guests for coming today. We thank you. We pray that you be blessed. And if you stand to your feet and lift your hands before God, I'll speak and pronounce the blessing over you. Hallelujah. And Father, no. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your healing virtue to flow through this assembly. Every person that is in pain, discomforted, that you'll bring comfort. I pray for those, Lord God, that we know are afflicted, and pray for healing in their lives. And I pray for those that we don't know who are afflicted with an affliction. And we pray for healing in their lives. Lord, you are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And according to your word, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. So in the name of Jesus, I release healing right now. And if you're sick and afflicted, just receive it. Just receive it. Just receive it. You may feel something. You may not feel something. But just receive the word of the Lord that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are healed and you are made whole. We bind sickness in Jesus' name. We take authority over pain and discomfort. We take authority over joint pain. We take authority over heart conditions. We take authority over lung conditions. We take authority over physical ailments in the body, those that have been a long time, Father, enduring this. Father, in the name of Jesus, bring forth deliverance now. Bring forth freedom now. Bring forth healing and wholeness now. In Jesus' name, I command the afflictions and the sicknesses to go because of the blood of the Lamb. Touch your people. And we promise to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name that's above every name, Jesus. Amen. Now the Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, so that the gates of hell will not prevail against you. But you will triumph over the gates of hell because you're the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go. May he be glorified in all that you do in word and in deed. And everybody who agrees said amen. Amen. All right, give the Lord a hand of praise. Greet your neighbor to your left, to your right, in front and behind. Make sure you greet our guests. Let them know you love them. Welcome them back in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah.